This message is the property of H. David Edwards and Elam Bible Institute, and presented free of charge for private use only. Permission to use this message publicly may be requested by contacting Elam Bible Institute at 7245 College Street, Lima, New York, 14485.
With joy, the Elam Tape Department brings to you David Edwards. The title of his message is Moved with Compassion. This message was given on February 11th, 1979, at Elam Bible Institute.
By way of introduction, I want to read a brief portion from the Old Testament and then draw your attention to my text in the New. And the Old Testament portion that I want to read for you is found in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe yourselves with the wool. Ye kill those who are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became food to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and will cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. Now, a text from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And particularly verse 36, When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them, because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Just very recently, I knew some intense frustration because of some anxiety and disappointment that I had felt concerning ministry. And I had not been able to resolve the tension in which I found myself when a friend called me. And although at other times I have deplored Mother Bell, on this occasion I was grateful for her. And in the course of conversation, my friend, either prompted by concern or else perhaps provoked by something that he heard in my voice, or possibly even by the Spirit of the Lord, asked me some particular and personal questions, and I responded to him. And as our conversation went on, I found it difficult to restrain my tears. And then he quoted me the scripture here: when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were faint and were scattered abroad, the sheep having no shepherd. I would not want to suggest to you in any way that anything negative concerning my own frustrations is echoed here in the life of our Lord. I've had to ask myself the question whether he could be frustrated. But he knew some of the pressures that we associate with frustration. And some of those pressures are reflected in this particular text to which I've drawn your attention this morning. I want you to think about the fact that it was his vision, and that the distinction is made between our Lord and the multitude. It's we and us. It is us and them. Here it is he and they. And nobody ever saw men in the way that Jesus did. I don't know how you see them, but this is how he saw them. He spoke often of them as sheep, only on one occasion as goats. And when he spoke of them as goats, he spoke of that ultimate and final analysis. Most frequently, he spoke of them as sheep. This is not the only place where reference is made to our Lord's compassion. He had compassion on the demoniac, and he delivered him. He had compassion on the sick, and he healed them. He had compassion on the blind, and he gave them sight. He was moved with compassion towards the widow of Nain, and he delivered back to her her son. All of those things have happened in this chapter. The sick are healed, the demons are cast out, the blind receive their sight. And I rather imagine that if that were to happen for us, that would be sufficient. But our Lord has seen this. The demons cast out at his word, the blind receive their sight at his touch, and the sick are healed at his command. But then, after all that had happened, he saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion towards them, because he saw them as faint and as scattered, having no shepherd. I couldn't help but compare what is said here with what is said elsewhere about his compassion. Elsewhere it is said he had compassion. He saw them with compassion. And I found somewhere or other in a commentary the name of the editor, I do not recall, and he said that this is the strongest possible word that can be used. Our Lord was deeply moved from within as he saw the sheep not shorn but fleeced. He saw them lacerated and torn and divided. as sheep having no shepherd. I know that lots of people nowadays react adversely to being identified with sheep. But fairly consistently throughout Old and New Testament alike, God speaks of his children as sheep. And it occurs to me that there is something which is perhaps both detrimental and something which is to be coveted when we are compared to sheep. There is one adjective that characterizes sheep more than any other. We speak of silly sheep. We sometimes speak of dumb sheep. Not because they're unable to make noise, because very often they are amongst the most raucous of creatures. But because we call them dumb, possibly because we find it impossible to interpret what it is that they're saying, we become aware of their inability to communicate. But they are senseless and they are defenseless. If a sheep ever had a homing instinct, something seems to have gone wrong with it. Because the one thing that is characteristic of sheep is that they can be relied upon to go astray. A salmon, a bird, a bee, a cat, a dog, a horse, an eel, all of these seem to have that unerring homing instinct. The salmon returns to the stream wherein it was spawned. All the eels in the sea make their way back to the Sargasso Sea. You might have tried at some time or other to leave a stray cat or dog off in the country and found to your dismay that he's gotten home before you. We heard the Canadian geese making their way southward some months ago. We're looking for their return. But when Jesus spoke about the one sheep of the 99 that was lost, right in the conclusion of that parable, he said that when the shepherd finds it, he lays it upon his shoulders and he bringeth it home. Home. Because the shepherd knows that to set the nose of the sheep towards home and then to give it a pat on the rump or a boot in the rear is not enough. Because even though you bring it to within 5 yards of the gate of the fold, the one thing that it can be depended upon is to turn its nose away from home. And the prophet Isaiah must have known something about that. He said, all we were like sheep going astray. The sheep of Wales are not as attractive as the sheep of South Africa or New Zealand. But I learned when I was growing up in Wales that I could look to the daily paper with some regularity and expect to find that a police inspector or an inspector of the Royal Society for the Protection of Cruelty to Animals had hazarded his life in order to rescue a sheep that was found in danger. Because the only thing that a sheep thinks about is the next blade of grass that is at the end of its silly nose. And it hardly ever recognizes that it eats its way into a place of peril from which it cannot recover itself. And Jesus looked at the multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. The shepherd provides sense for the sheep. But the shepherd doesn't only provide sense for the sheep. The shepherd also provides defense for the sheep. It's senseless and it is defenseless. Not only defenseless, but it is offenseless. A goose or a goat alike is possessed of weapons of offense But the sheep has no armor, and the sheep has no weapons of attack. It is not only possessed of an errant heart, but it is possessed of a cowardly heart. Because the sheep, even when it's young, are attacked, will always run. And without a shepherd, we are defenseless. And he viewed the multitude. I don't know how you feel about multitudes. Some of us would view the multitude with awe. Some of us would view the multitude with glamour. Some of us would be repelled by the multitude. And some of us would be attracted by the multitude. But when Jesus saw the multitude, his concern was for them. He viewed the multitude with compassion. He was moved to his heart. And what is said here, something that happened in his lifetime, I believe is the reason for his being incarnate. It was not that God had need of us, but when he looked at us, he viewed us with compassion. And he saw us as sheep having no shepherd. The same comment is found in Mark. Mark 6 and verse 34. In very much the same kind of context as this comment here, there had been all kinds of things which had attracted the multitude, and they had come to him. The apostles had returned to him and reported what had happened during their period of ministry. And in his concern for the apostles, he said, "Come ye apart and rest a while." But as they were crossing the lake by boat, the multitude made their way around the shore. And when they arrived on the far side, that is the disciples with our Lord, the multitude was there waiting for them. I rather suspect that the disciples viewed the multitude as an intrusion. And I can understand and identify with that. I left the wedding early yesterday, intending to find and make some time in my office. And in the couple of hours that I had available, I was interrupted 6 times. And I resented the interruption. The disciples, it would appear, resented the intrusion. But Jesus did not view the multitude as an intrusion. He saw them as an occasion. And when the disciples saw them, the disciples said, "Send them away." But Jesus said, "No, give them to eat." He was moved with compassion towards them. Some multitudes are apathetic. Possible to be a part of an aimless crowd. Times Square, downtown Rochester, the malls. They're just drifting. Some multitudes are sympathetic. As I looked around at the wedding yesterday, when it sounded as though Joe's voice was going to break and he would not be able to complete the love song that meant so much to him and to Diane, I looked around and I saw the glitter of a tear in more eye than one. There is something about the fervor and spirit and emotion of a crowd that is easily communicated in the multitude. Some multitudes are apathetic. Some multitudes are sympathetic, but Jesus saw the multitude as pathetic. He was moved with compassion towards them. And then he seemed to get his metaphors mixed up, because he saw them as sheep And then he turned to his disciples, apparently thinking of the same situation in a somewhat different way. And he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he thrust forth laborers into the harvest." Sheep and a shepherd, that's how they were seen from his point of view. Let me ask you, how do you view the people that you meet? Do you see them as goats already committed to a destiny in which there is no possibility of change? Do you see them as antagonists, enemies? Or do you see them as he did, as sheep, lacerated, fleeced, wounded, scattered, having no shepherd? Do you regard the people who come into your life as an interruption or as an occasion? I wish that I could always be as optimistic as Jesus consistently was. I wish that I could always be as sensitive as he obviously was. I don't think he knew anything negative in his concern, and if he was frustrated, I don't think he had anything of those qualities that I despise about my own frustration. I wish that he would purge me of the attitude that the disciples exhibited when they said, "Send them away." The multitudes were the reason for his being there. Had they been sent away, then he would have been left purposeless and fruitless. But he said, rather, "Give ye them to eat." That's what he says to us this morning. We're not a great multitude, but I want you to know that he views us with compassion, that his heart is no different now from what it was then, and that if you came here looking for fellowship, he offers it to you. And if you came here looking for forgiveness, he offers it to you. And if you came here looking for the assurance of his willingness to identify with you in your distress, he is here. And his word to us is, "Come and eat, for all things are now ready." And he does that out of a heart that is moved with compassion. I'd like to ask the brethren to come and prepare themselves in order to serve you with the bread and the wine offered to us this morning only because there was one who was willing to die in my stead that a soul so unworthy might live. In the path to the cross, he was willing to tread all the sins of my life to forgive.